Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. There was a lady who was going to take a trip to Rome, and in preparation for a trip, she went to the hair salon to get her hair done, and she made the mistake of telling her hairdresser about the trip. Her hairdresser said, "Rome? Why would you want to go to an ugly place like Rome?" The hairdresser asked, "How are you getting there?" The lady said, "Well, we're going to fly continental." The hairdresser said, "Continental? Oh, the planes are so old and ugly. Where are you going to stay when you get to Rome?" "Well," the lady said, "we're going to stay at a hotel right on the river." "Oh, those hotels are so small. You'll hate it." The hairdresser asked, "What are you going to do when you're in Rome?" And the lady said, "Well, we're going to go to the Vatican, and we hope to see the Pope." The hairdresser says, "Oh, yeah, you and about 500,000 other people. Good luck with that." Well, today is Mother's Day. And I want to say to all you mothers and grandmothers, you look like you just came from the hairdresser. You look amazing. Now, I imagine that some of you right now are touching your hair and saying, "Oh, Pastor, I haven't been to the hairdresser in so long. Do you see how I look?" But just imagine with me for a moment what the Apostle Paul looked like when he was under house arrest in Rome. His skin was probably pale. He probably had bruises on his wrists from the shackles. His clothes were probably dirty and torn. And his hair. Can you imagine almost 2 years without a proper shampoo, rinse, and coloring? Probably looked terrible. And yet, Paul had a joy within that could not be contained. Right now, we're under house arrest, but guess what? This too shall pass. This will not last forever. Probably not soon, but at some point we'll be released. And yet the sad thing is that some people will still be locked up. And here's the reason why I say that. Because worry builds walls. Can you say that with me? Worry builds walls. I've heard someone say that regret is like being imprisoned by yesterday, and that worry is like being imprisoned to tomorrow. But either way, we're not free to enjoy today. Worry is something that we all struggle with. We're working hard on it, but it's still something that we've all got to deal with. But as I think about it, if anyone had reason to worry, it would be the Apostle Paul. Here he is, locked in prison, chained to a different guard each day. At any moment, he could get the news that he's been condemned to death and was going to be beheaded. Paul is separated from others by prison walls. And yet, here is what Paul says. Paul says, "Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love." Paul is saying no hardship, no turmoil, no persecution, no famine, no sword. And Paul's not just spouting words. Paul is talking from his experience. See, Paul has had a front row seat to God's faithfulness in his own life. Paul saw God's faithfulness when he was shipwrecked and should have died. Paul saw God's faithfulness when he was bitten by poisonous snakes again and again. Paul saw God's faithfulness when he was whipped and beaten. Paul saw God's faithfulness when he was stoned and imprisoned. But most of all, Paul saw God's faithfulness when Paul deserved it the least. When Paul was an enemy with Christ. Can you imagine what you would look like if you'd been through all that? Can you imagine what you would sound like if you'd been through all that? Well, let me tell you what Paul sounds like. Here's what Paul sounds like. "Rejoice in the Lord when? always, and again I say rejoice. Let's say it again. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I want to tell you that worry doesn't have to have control over us when we know who's really in charge. My mother-in-law passed about 2 months ago. My family went to go and work on our house just this past week. We drove in separate cars. Zachary and Sharon drove in one car, and I drove in the other with the lawnmower. We worked on the house, I mowed the lawn, and then we were headed back towards our own home. We had to go back a different way, though, because I-70 was closed, and so we're taking back roads to get back to our house. I'm following Sharon. Sharon's in the car ahead of me, and Sharon turned south on a street where she's supposed to turn north on. And so I'm wondering, what is she doing? And I'm thinking to myself, oh, she's going to go to that gas station, get some gas. But she keeps on going south, and she passes the gas station. So I call her on the phone, and I'm like, Sharon, where are you guys going? And she says, we're headed home. And I said, you're going the wrong way. And she says, no, we're not. I said, you're going the wrong way. I'm right behind you. I said, you know what? I'll bet you anything that you're going the wrong way. I bet you $50. I bet you $100 you're going the wrong way. Zach's in the car and says, make it $150, Daddy. I said, I bet you $150 you're going the wrong way. I said, you guys are crazy. I said, I'm right behind you. Look at the street sign. It says Arlington, and we're going south. My wife says, excuse me, we're on Shadeland going north, and I have no idea who you're following. I was following the wrong car. Guess what? I think that happens to a lot of us. We end up following the wrong driver. We end up hitching ourselves to worry and negativity, and wherever they take us, we end up following. But it's not supposed to be that way. See, when we've got it right, we don't have to worry about the what if we know the who. Let me say that again. We don't have to worry about the what if we know the who. Paul says it much better. Paul says it this way. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. That's Philippians 4:6. We don't have to worry about anything. That's the what. All we need to do is take it to God. That's the who in prayer. Trust that God is able to handle what we can't ourselves. Pastor Craig Groeschel says this. He says that what we worry about most reveals what we value most. And there are a lot of mothers and grandmothers that value their children a lot. We value them, and as it turns out, we end up worrying about them a lot. But Pastor Groeschel also says what we worry about the most reveals an area we need to trust God more. So we need to trust our children to God. We need to do what we can do, train them up in the knowledge and the love of the Lord, and then trust them to God. We need to pray for them. We need to be an example to them. And then we need to trust them to God. My wife and my brother-in-law have something in common. My mother has been praying for them both since my sister and I were little kids. Way before we were ever grown or adults, my mother was praying for our spouses to be. Way before my sister ever got her first kiss, my mother was praying for our spouses. And I'll let you in on a little secret. Personally, I've never even seen my sister get kissed, so I don't even know what's ever happened.
Oh, you're stepping on some toes now. Jeannie.
But regardless, my mother has been praying for her children and for her children in love. What is it that you value most? Is that something that you need to trust God with more? Perhaps in your life, it's your finances. Well, do what you know to do. Give your tithe, live beneath your means, and then trust that the same God who owns a cattle on a thousand hill also knows and loves you. Our problem, I think, though, is sometimes short-term memory. What we do is we come to church and we come with our worry or our burden, and we decide we're going to turn it over. We lay it on the altar. We bring it over to the altar and we put it down. We free ourselves and we feel good. We have church, and then after the benediction is over, what do? We walk right back over there and we pick it up again. And we walk out. It's not supposed to be that way. I've got a little exercise to keep us from repeating that over and over again. I want us to focus on the who. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to visualize God before you. And I want you to see yourself taking that worry, taking that negativity, taking that burden, and I want you to place it in the arms of God. I want you to see God grasping a hold of that and you letting go. Now, if you're tempted to go and to get that worry again, I want you to visualize yourself going up to God and saying, God, give it back. Because I don't trust you enough. God, give it back because I think that I'm stronger to hold it than you are. God, give it back because I think I know more about it than you do. Well, that's silly. We would never do that, would we? Instead, what we would do is this. We would trust that we're going to do with our hands what we can do. And we're going to trust God to do with God's hands what we cannot do. So let me give you a test. With your hands, can you heal your sick loved ones? No. But with God's hands, God can. With your hands, can you change your spouse? I didn't say nag your spouse, because you definitely can do that. But with your hands, can you change your spouse? No. But God's hands can. With your hands, can you make sure that your children never experience any problems? No. And actually, if you did, that would be a problem, because our kids wouldn't grow up knowing how to face and handle problems. Trust them to God. With your hands, can you change the future? No. But you can trust that the hands of God are able to bring good out of every situation. Can your worry change anything? No. But can God change you? Yes. And here's how Paul says it happens. Paul says that the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. I love that. My heart and my mind is kept in Christ Jesus. That's a lot better than keeping my heart and mind in worry. Because when I keep my heart and my mind in worry, you know what I'm prone to do? I'm prone to think of worst case scenarios. I'm prone to focus on, oh, what if I lose? What if everyone hates me? What if everything goes wrong? What if everything is horrible? And so I'm looking for the worst. But when my heart and my mind is kept in Christ Jesus, I'm prone to look for something different. Paul tells me what to look for in Philippians 4:8. Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I've got an assignment for you this week. I want you to think about some good things. I want you to think about a time when your hands weren't strong enough, but when God, with God's hands, made a way out of no way. I want you to think about a time when your back was to the wall, and then you came to realize that God was your wall. That God was your fortress and strength, an ever-present time of help in the midst of trouble. I want you to focus on the times in which God reached in and pulled you up with his hands. There was a woman who was preparing for a trip to Rome. So she goes to the hairdresser to get her hair done and makes a mistake of telling the hairdresser about the trip. The hairdresser says, Rome? Why would you want to go to Rome? It's so ugly and dirty there. How are you getting there? And the lady says, well, we're going to fly continental. And the hairdresser says, Continental, ugh! Their planes are so old and ugly. Where are you going to stay when you're in Rome? The lady says, well, we're going to stay at a hotel right on the river. Ugh! Those hotels are so small. What are you going to do when you're in Rome? The lady says, well, we're going to go to the Vatican, and we hope to see the Pope. The hairdresser says, ha! You and about a 500,000 other people, good luck. Well, about a month passes, and the lady comes back to get her hair done again. And the hairdresser says, so how was your trip to Rome? And the lady says, it was wonderful. She said, we went and flew Continental, and they upgraded us to first class. She said, we went to the hotel on the river, and they bumped us up to the penthouse. And the hairdresser said, really? Well, I know you didn't get a chance to see the Pope. And the lady said, well, actually, we did. We're in the Vatican, and the bishop taps us on the shoulder and asks us if we'd like to meet the Pope in his private room. We say, yes, of course, and I go in, and I kneel down, and the Pope comes before me, and he puts his hand on my head, and he says a few words to me. The hairdresser said, are you serious? What did the Pope say to you? The lady says, the Pope said, my child, who screwed up your hair? Friends, don't let worry screw you up. Put your trust in the hands of God. Amen. Amen.